Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is good to be here and it's good to be heard. Thank you for being here to help celebrate Palm Sunday with us today. As you can see, we're going to have some great music this morning to augment our worship service, and we hope that you will enjoy that as well. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that through a multitude of ministries here, many of which are listed on your connection card that was in your bulletin when you walked in. Hopefully you also got a palm for this Sunday. If not, flag down an usher. Laura's back there. I can see her. She can get you something. You'll want to be participating in our palm parade that's coming up in a little bit. Those connection cards are there for you to let us know that you are here with worshiping us with us today, especially if you're a visitor. We want to make sure we acknowledge you. There is a welcome center out in the community room, and there are gifts. Bags for new visitors. There are some lovely handmade items in those bags, and so you can take advantage of that. There'll be somebody posted there waiting to welcome you to the church this morning. There are also yellow prayer cards in the pew backs. This is a congregation that believes in the power of prayer, and so if you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment to fill one of those cards out. They will go to the prayer group that meets weekly, unless you check on their pastors only or clergy only, I forget how it's worded on there, in which case they will be directed to the clergy directly. We have Rose Bledsoe and, I forgot, Sue Urban. Sorry, Sue, she's back there. Will be helping us with worship this morning, and our Sunday school kids will be joining us in just a little bit. They will be meeting downstairs first and then coming up. I see some of them are gathered already back there. We have some announcements this morning as we make our way into Holy Week. Monday, Thursday on April 17th will be an immersive and interactive experience out in the community room. We will be having communion and remembering that Last Supper that Jesus celebrated with his apostles. There will also be a hand washing and some other great forms of worship for us to welcome in Holy Week. Good Friday on the 18th, services will be here at 7 p.m. at Whitmore Lake at noon. It will be a different kind of service. I don't know how many of you are aware, we have, a large number of retired clergy, those looking to go into ministry that are part of this congregation on a regular basis, and they have stepped up and they will be bringing you their thoughts on scriptures that relate to the Good Friday service. And so please consider joining us for that to hear words from different voices and hopefully be able to be enlightened and ready for Easter Sunday. Which brings us to Easter Sunday, 7:15 in the Memorial Garden. We'll gather out there. Actually, we usually gather inside and go out, depending on the weather, but the service will begin there at 7:15, and then our usual service at 9:30 and 11. Whitmore Lake will have their normal service at 9:15. We will celebrate Easter resurrection with joy, and hopefully the weather will also be joyous for us on that morning. I know Susan's the one that's out there doing the music, so we always feel bad when we have to wear winter coats on top of our Easter Sunday dresses. And then lastly, on May 18th, I don't know if we have, do we have a slide for the May 18th, okay? On May 18th, we will have one service. Both campuses will be joined, combining here at the Brighton Church at 10 a.m. So mark that on your calendar, May 18th, 10 a.m. If you show up, usual to have your fellowship time before 9:30 service, you'll be in good stead to be here for that service. But please know that we are going to be celebrating the unity of our community and the joy that it is to be a part of this worship community. Those are all the announcements I have, and so I'm going to ask Rose to come forward and do the call to worship.
Please rise and join responsively in the reading. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Please be seated.
Thank you.
This morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad we started worship this morning with some calisthenics. Sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up. We're all warmed up. Everyone came in for the parade, and here we are celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. I just want to invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who we call our King. Amen. Well, as we enter into this Holy Week, I just want to say thank you so much to our music team for the wonderful music you've already provided this morning. It felt like a parade this morning as our kids were making their way through the sanctuary. We were celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, a moment in the history of our faith that probably would have been a pretty powerful moment to be a part of. You can imagine perhaps Jerusalem this massive ancient city, a place where people came from far distances to come observe the holy days that were experienced in Jesus' time. People would have gathered from every part of the country. They would have come in because this is a time of significant preparation, a moment within the lives of our spiritual ancestors where they would have made their way to the temple to experience one of the holiest moments of the entire year. And so you can perhaps imagine the scene where people are gathering from every direction. Folks are entering the city of Jerusalem by every gate imaginable. People are coming from the east and the west, the north and the south. And Jesus has asked his disciples to go ahead to the city to go find a donkey. Now, the thing about this donkey is, you know, most folks in the ancient world were expecting Jesus to be a very particular kind of person. They were hoping that Jesus would come set them free. Most of us have no understanding what it would have been like in the ancient world to live under the oppression of Roman rule. It's hard for us to imagine how difficult and challenging it would be to live underneath the occupation of an empire that ruthlessly and brutally put people to death left and right. The smell of blood would have been upon your nostrils just walking into the city of Jerusalem. It would have been nearly unimaginable to us today to enter into a city walking past people who are dying in agony on crosses and every other form of torture and punishment that you can imagine. I can't even convey to you how difficult life would have been. Historians suggest that the empire was raising taxes in an attempt to raise money to support their military operations abroad, that people were beginning to suffer from experiencing higher prices and challenges feeding their families because things were getting intolerable and more expensive to live in that particular age. And then in marches Jesus, and in the top of everybody's mind were prophecies from Zechariah and from Isaiah. People were imagining that at some point, if you can imagine what it would be like to live in this time, somebody was going to come and set God's people free. In this era, people hearken back into the ancient times when David and Solomon were ruling in Israel, a time of peace and tranquility, a time then when the empire was going strong and everything was all right. They imagined a brighter past than they had in the present. And people were sitting in the ancient world hoping that someday the Messiah would come back and liberate God's people. That's what everybody was excitedly anticipating. We oftentimes do this as humans, I think, hoping that somebody will save us from the terror that we're living in the moment. We're just like, please, somebody come bail us out from this pain and agony that we're experiencing right now. We need somebody to save us. Every once in a while, I think God says, like, do you have a mirror around? You're pointing at me, but the person in the mirror is actually pointing back at you. Maybe you are the one that's supposed to be a part of transforming the world yourself. And so these people in the ancient world, they gather around the city of Jerusalem. They start shouting and they start getting excited. There's all kinds of folks. There were zealots who were gathering in the streets, religious zealots, a sect of ancient Judaism that was very charged up. They were kind of militaristic. They were borderline terrorists, quite frankly. They were anxiously creating a whole bunch of stir, and they were incredibly proud of their faith, but they were interested in overthrowing the Roman Empire. There were religious leaders who are gathering in the city of Jerusalem at this time, getting ready to put on services for folks, and people were anxiously watching them for trouble as well. There were Roman authorities, Pontius Pilate, and other soldiers who walked into the city of Jerusalem. They would have been armed to the teeth, riding on war horses, probably in their full Roman soldier outfits. You can imagine their shields and their swords and their war horses. And then there's this Jesus, who at this point had gathered quite a following of ragtag folks. They were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were ordinary people just like you and myself, but people who for hundreds of years were anxiously awaiting the time that God would choose to come back. And for the first time, maybe in a long time, they believed that Jesus was the one that they were waiting for. And so they gathered, not like the Roman authorities wearing their swords and shields and armor. Jesus said, go ahead and take your cloaks and spread them on the eastern road. Grab palm branches and lay them down. Go ahead for me and grab a donkey, and I'll ride it into the city of Jerusalem. Can you imagine the sharp contrast between this war army walking in on one side of Jerusalem, and then there's Jesus walking in on a donkey? Some prayed. Lots of historians suggest that in addition to fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament, one of the things that Jesus was saying is, I'm going to be a very different kind of king. No, I'm not the one that's going to come in and liberate you through the tip of a spear or sword. No, I'm not going to come in and transform the world with violence. You're way too familiar with that. There are far too many people who have needlessly lost their life to unnecessary violence and bloodshed. Instead, I want you to be waving palm branches completely unthreateningly. There's no weapons in this movement of the Spirit. I'm going to be here with my palm branches on a donkey. It's almost a laughable scene. The last time you were probably at a parade, I imagine there were probably sirens roaring. Perhaps there were people of significance riding in on Corvettes or Mustangs or any other form of convertible. You can probably imagine the scene of people going down the street and people are sitting in the back seat of some super expensive car. And then there's Jesus, who's like, if you're going to throw a parade for me, I am going to ride one of the smallest forms of horseback that I can possibly mount. I'm going to be on an unassuming donkey going into the city of Jerusalem. The thing is, right after Jesus gets into the city of Jerusalem, you know what happens. He goes right into the temple and he starts confronting the money exchangers. He starts calling people out for profiting on the backs of the religious people for selling things that people would use to make their offerings before God at that particular time, making tons and tons of money because people are trying to get themselves right with God before the holidays. He starts irritating people left and right, and Jesus knows as he's going into the city of Jerusalem, I believe that this will be his final entry. He knows that this parade is going to lead to his death. And all the people that gathered there who were shouting him on probably had in their mind, just like Peter did in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus was going to overthrow these terrible Romans. And he didn't do that. At least not the way we imagined him doing it. In the modern world, we're probably still anxiously awaiting the one who will come to us and absolutely turn the world over on its head, the one who will flip things upside down, the Jesus who goes into the temple and starts flipping tables and saying, you can't do this anymore. We need things to change. We need a revolution. We need things to be turned over on its head. We're probably still anxiously awaiting the one who will come save us from the terrible things that are going on in this world. I think part of the story of Palm Sunday is that Jesus sort of looks all of us in the eye and says, what are you going to do to change the world? Just yesterday, it was awesome to see our church in action. Some of you were involved in stuffing some Easter eggs that were put all over both of our church campus grounds, nearly 2,000 of them. And it's amazing how long it takes to Easter Bunny to distribute all of those eggs onto the green. And then in about 2.7 seconds, nearly 2,000 eggs are like the Hoover vacuum, just swept up from the grass, and all of a sudden they're gone. At the same time that that was happening, 50 people in our Whitmore Lake community were receiving boxes of food that had been prepared and packed by members of our church and distributed to 50 families, and I wish you all could have been there as they received their boxes of food at the Whitmore Lake campus yesterday. 9 people at the exact same moment were down at Cass, helping out in a variety of ways with landscaping and packing another 40 food baskets that would be distributed to folks in the city of Detroit. At the same exact moment as our Easter egg hunt at Whitmore Lake was taking place, there was a memorial service happening right here in the sanctuary at the same time. Needless to say, I think that's the kind of kingdom that Jesus was coming to announce when he rode into the east gate into the city of Jerusalem, a kingdom that would be for the kids running around on the grounds of the church picking up Easter eggs, a kingdom that would be about the redistribution of food so that everybody who was hungry had something to eat, a kingdom about people leaving the comfort and security of their own homes to go serve people less fortunate than themselves just down the street in the city of Detroit, a kingdom where people are willing to care for one another even in the midst of grief and loss, a kingdom where there's celebration of the good news that's happening all around us. Jesus came to announce a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of emptying ourselves and putting others before ourselves. I imagine some of you probably spent some time this week looking at your 401ks. Anybody with me? It was a brutal week for some of us who had stored up our treasures here on earth. A lot of us put a higher authority into our calendars and into our checking account, balance ledgers than we do into the promises and the authority of God. And I have to say, and this will be a challenge even to myself, so in as much as I'm preaching to anybody else, I'm also preaching to myself, it is easy to ride the ups and downs of a stock market in this world. What is far harder, what is far more challenging, is to trust in the promises of God that endure far more significantly, far more substantially than any twists and turns of the market economy. Our kingdom is not of this world. We don't derive our peace and security by how powerful our military is. We don't derive our peace and security by the balance in our checking account or in our 401k. We don't derive our peace and security by how powerful and industrious our GDP is. We derive our value from the promises of God. And when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey on this unassuming colt, there wasn't a whole lot of folks who said, "Oh my goodness, look at this guy. He's powerful and mighty." Instead, they said, "No, look at this guy. He's meek and lowly. He's unthreatening. He's not somebody who I'm going to necessarily believe is going to set the entire foundation of the world on end." And yet he did it. As we go into this Holy Week, I'm here to tell you I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen in the future. I don't know whether or not increasing tariffs between ourselves and our brothers and sisters halfway around the world in China are going to result in a Great Depression as people have forecasted. I can't tell you whether or not an escalating trade war will result in a war between the superpowers that have existed in this world for quite some time. I can't make any promises about what our world leaders will do as they increasingly posture for greater position and influence over the world. What I can promise you is this, though. If you're faithful and you follow Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, what you will find is a Jesus that continuously surprises you with unexpected twists and turns in your life. If you follow Jesus all the way through this Holy Week story, I hope you'll come and join us for Maundy Thursday as we gather at the Last Supper of Jesus, a man who knows he's about to be put to death, and he gathers with his friends and his family, and he challenges them to go out and do even greater things than he did in this world. If you gather with us on Good Friday, you'll be in the foot of the cross where this man who proclaimed love and peace and forgiveness and transformation and healing on the Sabbath and liberation and hope and love, if you gather with us on Good Friday, you'll recognize that people who get up and talk about the world being transformed and the hope that we have in God through Jesus Christ can be put on the cross. If you gather with us on Easter Sunday, what you'll know for sure is no matter how bad things get in the stock market, resurrection always follows death. If you gather with us on Easter Sunday, we are going to be releasing butterflies out into this world, a symbol of resurrection, a symbol of hope that no matter how bad things get this week, I'm here to tell you, Easter's coming, and death and destruction and violence and evil and all of the rhetoric that's happening in this world don't get to have the last word. God does. And I believe if God gets the last word, then everything's going to be okay. A lot of people tell me when I preach, hey, pastor, you're not supposed to be political. And I hear that. The thing about Palm Sunday is this, though. This moment was incredibly political. Jesus was walking in one parade. Pontius Pilate was walking with another. Religious leaders were coming into the city, walking in their own parade. There were three different parties that were gathering in the same city at the same time, and I'm here to tell you they were very different parades. One had swords, one had palm branches, the other had scrolls. All of them were proclaiming that the world was going to be set on its foundation through different powers, one through fear and violence, one through hope and resurrection, one through the Old Testament scriptures. And I'm here to tell you at the end of the day, even though they put Jesus to death, he said once again, this isn't the end. Your sword can't take away my joy. Your cross can't take away my flourishing. Jesus' death and resurrection at the end of this week is worth celebrating even thousands of years later. I wish we all could have been there. I'm just here to ask you, which parade would you have shown up for? Would you have been a part of the Roman procession, putting all of your peace and comfort and security in the might and strength of the Roman Empire? Would you have shown up to the religious leaders' parade as they walked in holding their big golden scroll saying, if we live holy and righteous, God will save us? Or would you have looked at this unassuming, humble guy walking in on a donkey and a whole bunch of people waving these absurd palm branches, announcing a very different kind of kingdom? I hope we would have all had the courage to show up at Jesus' parade. Our security and our comfort don't come from military might. It doesn't come from prosperity or a GDP or a strong economy. Our good news doesn't necessarily come from the ways that the world tells you to be prosperous and secure. Our security comes from this 2,000-year-old story of a man who sent his closest friends ahead to go get a donkey to walk into Jerusalem. And so I say to you, as we move forward in this worship service, wave your palm branches proud. If you just lost hundreds of thousands of dollars this week, wave your palm branches high and loud. If you feel anxious about the world that's going on today and you can't necessarily understand how God is still moving in a world where there's violence and Palestine and Israel, wave your palm branches high and loud. If you're anxious about the fact that things become increasingly divisive in our world and the rhetoric continues to get amped up, wave your palm branches high and loud, because our security and comfort do not come from CNN or Fox News or MSNBC. These promises that the kingdom of God is near are just as true for us today as they were for Jesus' followers thousands of years ago. Thanks be to God for the humility of Christ who came before us all. All our job is to keep these palm branches high. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Sue Urban, and I'm your worship hostess this morning, and it is so good to see everyone. Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday are two of my favorite Sundays of the year, and part of it is the music and the palms, but the other part is seeing people come home. Don and I go to a family gathering in Cleveland periodically, and the most fun about the whole weekend is we stay at all in the same hotel, and we sit in the lounge, and we watch people come in one by one as they get into town for the bar mitzvah, actually, is what usually it is. That's what I like to see on Palm Sunday. Oh my gosh, I see Pauline's back, and George and Melanie got home from the Caribbean, and the Hendersons are here, and it warms my heart just as much as the wonderful music and liturgy. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, you are the source of all love, and we are grateful for the blessings and grace that you have bestowed on us. As we enter into Holy Week, we remember your triumphant entry into Jerusalem with crowds waving palm branches and shouting praises. But as we reflect and perhaps visit prayer stations, we are humbled by the humble heart of Jesus. He rode a donkey, showing us his servant leadership. Help us to follow his example of putting others before ourselves. We pray also, Lord, that you would be with those who are suffering today from many issues beyond their control, from abuse or neglect, from natural disasters, from food insecurity. We pray for those who have ongoing family struggles or illnesses. We pray especially for our prayer quilt recipients today, Anne Marie McLean, Carl Dunham, and Chris Esper. Please bring comfort to them and to their caregivers. Help them to be warmed both physically and spiritually by our gift, our love, and our prayers. We pray for peace and unity in the world, knowing that your love and grace are the only things that can bring true harmony. May we always remember the true meaning of Palm Sunday and carry it with us each and every day. And now we quietly bring to you our own personal prayers and petitions, trusting that you listen to even the most humble request. And now, please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we begin our time of offering and we get the musicians back in place, I just want to let you know, I hope many of you got the letter that went out for the spring with our Easter offering envelopes in it, detailing the many, many ways that this church is blessed in ministry and participation by the members here. A reminder that the Easter offering in those envelopes will go to what is called Ministry Shares, which is our way of supporting each other in the Michigan Conference, of supporting each church. Those monies are divided up and used for grants and scholarships to help churches build and grow as this church does. So thank you in advance for your generosity. Would the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
we thank and praise you for living among us. We feel your presence with us even today. We give offerings to the mission and ministry of this church in gratitude for all that you have first given us. Bless these offerings and use them to bring peace and love to the world. Amen.
I just want to give you one final warning. As we gathered here, as most of the folks did on Palm Sunday long ago, waving our palm branches, most of us weren't in fear. We did it joyfully. We saw the smiles of the kids walking through the sanctuary. But I've got to tell you, if you wave these palm branches proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, you're putting yourself at risk. If you trust him and surrender your life to him, if you proclaim that he is the author and perfecter of your faith, it may lead you to unimaginable places. You have no idea where it might take you. I can promise you this. It will be good. It will not save you from suffering or hardship. It will not save you from coming up against major challenges of this world, but I can promise you this, you will have assurance that God is on your side if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So be careful waving those palm branches. You never know. God might just show up and ask something of you that you never imagined. It might take you to places you never thought you'd go. Our kingdom is not of this world. As we depart from this place, may we raise these palm branches high, trusting that God will meet us in the streets, that God will meet us in our cars, that God will meet us in our homes, that God will meet us even the next time that you pull out your phone and check your 401k, that God will meet us even when there are challenges in the storylines, that God will meet us in the challenges in the depths of every valley, that God will meet us everywhere we go. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who bravely transgressed the streets of Jerusalem on his way to the cross, and on his way to resurrection. Let us go with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.